Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I am Dan from the internet. I have gloriously returned, and I'm here with Sean.
You should have kept playing Smash Brothers because you called yourself Dan from the internet. Fucking ego over here.
It rolls off the tongue. Happy New Year. I'm sorry this episode is late. So here's what had happened was... We had a good break. We had a good time off away from each other, not talking to each other, period, not doing anything together.
Except the wedding.
Because that's the rivalry. I know, I'm kidding.
That was a day.
But that was a day and a half.
That was
literally.
Fun. That was fun. Yeah, actually was.
Quite, but let's not get into our lives. We had a lot of a month that kind of happened, and it kind of got away from us. I had the best of episodes clipped out and planned, but I had Sean do the...
The intro.
Bestos for everyone. Yes. Hope you liked that. But that was also happening, if you're paying attention, right when Sean's voice was dying. And so we were going to record the proper
day.
Episode of the podcast the following day, but Sean's voice was just super dead. And I
didn't want to sniffle the entire podcast because my nose was running like it was bad. I got maybe 3 hours of sleep that night. It ended up being the cold. Thanks, fuckers.
Yeah, and I didn't want to put Sean through that, and I did not want to do this first episode of the year myself. It just would not be fitting. But we have got quite the episode for you. It's also going to be really great because you're getting quite a lot of Audio Face as we return. The Best Of's episode, this, and then there's going to be another episode coming next week. Let's just say ambiguously that so you don't upset
In
a period
days.
Of time, you will get episode 81 of Audio Face. Yeah, but no, it will be next week. Most likely, but let's get right into it. New singles of the month, essentially. What really came on...
Oh, new single, but...
Yeah, well, one new single of the month that we caught wind of, if you will. Speaking of if you will, and wind, it's Ill Wind from Radiohead.
Yeah, so this song, they technically released it with... The only time you can get it is if you ordered the... Super Deluxe Mega Billionaires version of a moon-shaped pool in 2016, which had a limited run, which I didn't get. I myself didn't get my hands on one, and that's the only time you could get Ill Wind. So the only time you could listen to it was somebody uploaded to SoundCloud, and who likes using SoundCloud to listen to one song over and over again? No one.
A lot of people,
so,
actually.
It's a pain in the ass. It's the worst fucking program to try to listen to something on repeat. I would not recommend it. But anyway, so they actually released it finally through their record label and put it on all the streaming platforms and to buy. And I fucking love it. I still don't know why they didn't put it on a moon-shaped pool. It has my favorite instrument, the On the Martino. It's very prevalent in it, that weird electronic sound you hear throughout, especially at the end, the last like 30 seconds. It's just On the Martino's looped and looped and looped. And I remember when I first heard that song, I go, whoa. And I was waiting for them to play it on tour, and they never did, and it makes me sad.
It's a very pretty song. It adaptively feels like it should fit in a moon-shaped pool.
Yeah.
Like those settings. I'm going to put Sean on the spot here, because I think we talked about this a little bit before we went fully live in the lost files of the Audio Face deleted scenes. Like, extremely deleted scenes.
Those need to be deleted.
like, I'm not talking about, like, ends up on a DVD later. Like, I'm talking about, like, literally does not exist in the face of the earth scenes. But, like, which, I'm going to ask you, we're going to try to be more specific again with songs in particular, albums and drops that we review this year.
Okay.
But in that kind of vein, if you were to be Radiohead and you decide to drop one song from a moon-shaped pool to put Ill Wind on it, which one would it be? And I don't agree with what you said.
Glass Eyes.
Oh, okay.
If I'm being serious, Glass Eyes. Because you can put it in between. Glass Eyes is what? Right in between Full Stop and Identikit, correct?
Yeah.
Let me look it up.
I wouldn't put it there. It is
there. Let me look it up.
It's right there. I have it right here.
Okay. Yeah, so Glass Eyes, I would take out, and I wouldn't put it in between Full Stop and Identikit. I would redo the lineup entirely.
Yeah,
much.
Me too.
The first two songs would be there, and then right after Daydreaming, I would put Full Stop. And then it
so
would
Burn
be...
So Burn the Witch, Daydreaming, Full Stop.
And then I could put in The Numbers or Tinker Tailor Soldier Man.
you!
Yeah, right?
Tinker Tailor Soldier Boy.
Yeah, thanks for getting the joke. But I mean, now this is just going on a rant, but it would fit a lot in the middle of the album, middle right. to end. It would be actually my three last ones would be this. It would be True Love Waits, Ill Wind, and then Present Tense. Those would be the three ending songs on Moon Shaped Pool.
I would put...
And I think those would flow very well. And I could you can even take out True Love Late to put Ill Wind instead.
I would absolutely not do that. And I would keep Ill Wind somewhere like above the numbers, but after Identikit.
You could do that.
So it wouldn't be the top three. It'd be like the top four or five for me. But nevertheless, this is a super indulgent conversation. We haven't... That's basically all the Radiohead we've talked about in 2018 because we kept it pretty mild.
But like when this is one of my favorite songs they've ever released. It's really good. Listen to it.
Do it. Okay. Now let's get into some news, and we're gonna keep the trap pretty. I mean, not really light. Oh, by the way, we're so new at this. What are we reviewing this episode? If you haven't seen by the title, we're gonna have Futures. I Am Greater Than I What? Sorry.
Fucking Momo.
This is what happens when
21 Savage. No, fuck you. 21 Savage. I Am Greater Than I Was. Assume Form from James Blake. You have.
We're going to have Future Boy. Hendrix Presents Juice. Yeah, the Wizard.
That's why I said fuck you. Point. I'm going to do it because you can't talk, you stupid
okay,
Momo.
Is Sean you Suarez you saying ma. You can't talk?
Yes, because you fucked it up twice in a row. One time's bad enough. Twice is you need to just stop. Outer Peace by Tori Amos.
Stop talking about my relationships.
Future. You don't want to know what's in my mind right now. You're lucky I'm saving it because I don't want to yell anymore. And then Future, whatever. Who gives a shit?
Well,
Future Auto Tune.
We're going to be
the great Hendrix Auto Tune
Awards. Hold. We're going to be giving Future a purely audio face review. Near the end of the episode, but for starters, we're going to get into some news, and it's going to be the obligatory Cardi B Offset update. So when we last left Cardi B and the lazy
culture, you said don't get bleeped. I'm not even the one getting bleeped at this point.
I'm kidding. I don't like Offset, if that's what I mean.
I mean, they named their kid
also
culture.
I'm racist. But
we've been established this.
Cardi B has lately said that she wants to go home to her estranged husband, Offset, basically saying things
evil.
Like, yeah, dick is the devil, which the...
Which
Church of Satan responded and said, accurate. So...
These are facts.
Everyone, you heard it there
facts
first.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
These facts don't care about Cardi B's feelings. This is the facts that don't care about Cardi B's feelings. You can do so much better. Cardi B, I'm keeping this out because this is a political podcast, went on some pretty fire rants against politicians, Trump, the government shutdown, Tommy Lauren. I mean, she basically bodied Tommy Lauren on Twitter, and I was all here for it.
She was full.
But wrong podcast. So yeah, that's what they're doing. I really hope that Cardi B realizes that
she can better dick.
Do way better, dude. And that Offset releases his album so that it fails, then Culture 3 can come out so that it fails. Because that was also the update, that Culture 3 won't come out until Offset's album comes out. Because I was originally going to say that Culture 3 would have come out this week. Because it's about 1 year since the second Culture and 2 years since the first. But Offset's album needs to come out
Cardi
first.
Cardi B, please. Stop slobbering on his knob so that way you can postpone Offset's album. So that way we don't have to review it. And that means that we don't have to review Migos. So Cardi B, do us a favor and listen to Audio Face and let this happen. So that way we can have a trap-free 2019. Trap-free, and that's the way it should be.
Well, this is actually something that might be going into that vein because...
Ray Shremmerd
is breaking
up. Black Beatles might be breaking up.
Probably. I mean, it seems like it because...
Oops!
Slim Jimmy, the least booked man in trap music.
Least booked man. Yeah, I mean,
he's been putting in some hours on Madden lately.
Is he on PlayStation or what?
He said, in a since deleted tweet, he wrote, "I'm not Ray Shremmerd, I'm Slim Jimmy, aka I'm a sink or swim by myself. No Shrem life, y'all won, it's a wrap. Y'all still got your man's sway, y'all be straight." So apparently he seems
okay.
He seems really butthurt.
How do English?
Yeah.
Y'all still got your man sway. Y'all a beast.
Oh, great. I mean, I understand it.
I don't.
Like, you'll be fine. You have Swae Lee, who is being booked on more songs and can actually sing, so therefore has a lot more talent than Slim Jimmy, who is a little bit generic, but nevertheless made Ray Shremmerd what it was. And it was one of, like, a trap group that I really did
enjoy. Yeah, you did, and it was okay. They made, like, two songs I liked, so that's more than the average trap artist, so I'll give them benefit of the doubt on that.
You are just killing trap, well, as usual. You're coming in hot for...
I guess it's so overrated.
Well, you know what? We are going to put this to the test. You have previously said and reiterated many times that 21 Savage is one of your favorite...
Is my favorite.
Yeah, is your favorite trap artist. And right at the end of 2018, so this is one of the rare times where Audioface is reviewing a 2018 album in 2019, or like an album from the wrong year and the right year.
Yeah, because they released it like the Friday that we were going to do the Audioface Awards. We go, that's
And we're not going to do a whole new episode just for 21 Savage. Yeah. So we bumped it to right here. So let's get 2018 out of the way completely and talk about I Am Greater Than the math symbol for y'all math heads out there. I Am Greater Than I Was by 21 Savage. It is by 21 Savage.
16 songs, 55 minutes long.
Yeah, those are good specs.
Which is good for trap album. I was happy with the length.
It's seeming like trap music, and we'll have more on this later, is slowly moving away from the
8 hours
super long, like...
Drake, three length albums, says those are bad for fans.
Yeah, hopefully something that's staying in 2018. But what are your thoughts with it?
So there's a few songs I do genuinely like a lot. On this album, it starts off very strong. The first song, A Lot, goes hard. I love that song.
The instrumentation really puts on a high note.
Yeah, perfect opener to the production on it. It doesn't get boring. It doesn't sound as normal trap does, and that's why I normally like 21 Savage. There's a couple songs in there that are okay. Ass and Titties is
A and T.
That just makes me laugh. It's just funny. That's why I like 21 Savage too, because half of his songs he just makes for to lulz, basically.
Yeah.
Like, let's just make this for fun. I really, really, really like All My Friends, and I hate that I like it because Post Malone's on it. But the song goes fucking hard, and I hate it that I like it. It's broke. My guilty pleasure song, but I will bump that shit.
Post Alone? You mean Broke Alone?
Bro, fucking Post Malone. Why do you tattoo barbed wire on your head? You're not cool, dude. Your dad works for the Dallas
Post
Cowboys.
Post Malone rap music doesn't make anyone cry.
Not about that. And there's a couple other good songs on there, but the album overall is solid. I like it. I think it's an evolution of his sound, evolution from, Issa album would be his last album because...
Yeah, exactly.
Because the other one was, Without Warning, was a kind of collaboration album.
Without Warning and Not All Heroes are collaboration albums. Both were all, like, entirely produced by Metro Boomin, while the other two had, like, various...
Yeah, he had a couple songs, like, 21 had a couple big songs on there, but it wasn't all his. This one, obviously, has a shit ton of features that he doesn't have listed, which is interesting.
Yeah, on the Spotify version.
Yeah,
and, like, you'll eventually find out through listening to it. Like, I mean, like, A Lot begins with J. Cole.
And it goes hard.
Throughout it, you
which
have...
Which didn't sound like J. Cole. I didn't know it was him.
Yeah, they did pretty good. They had Gunna, Lil Baby, Post Malone, like you said, Offset, sadly. Gambino, which actually, that was the song 13 Monster. I didn't like it that much, to
that
be
was
honest.
Gambino one?
Yeah, I would say really? It was actually one of the weaker songs on the album, in my opinion.
I honestly don't remember it, so that says something to me.
Travis Scott was on the album finisher.
Out for the Night.
Yeah,
it's a good song.
Part two.
Part two, yeah.
It's a good song. Yeah, I think my highlight of the album was... I think 4L is just like my favorite song. It just goes so hard.
4L goes hard. I remember you specifically played that song in my car, and I go, this is a really good song.
Yeah.
Because
I was trying to find, like, I kind of knew going into the 21 Savage album and getting, like, what I think of the album is that it's going to be, like, most trap albums in that if we do like it, you kind of pick three or four songs out of it. And that's a really good album if it is. That you like out of it and kind of go from there.
Yes,
but exactly. It usually rarely goes together as a complete work or a finished piece or idea. But this actually really does. I mean, like, we've always said 21 Savage has a lot more depth than most artists. And, like, Issa album really showed that. But you go from, A and T, like, Ass and Titties, like, your pure trap songs. Like, Gunsmoke can count as that. ASMR does that.
Yep.
I don't even actually like Don't Come Out the House with the whisper flow.
Don't Come Out the House. That
was just coming in too hot. So I don't even think ASMR does it that well. And I hope he doesn't overuse the whole whispering thing because then it become a gimmick.
Yeah. Keep it in that song because it's perfect for that.
And just keep it in very few songs.
Yes.
Because I think it went okay in 10 Freaky Girls too, or like another song I was into. But this album showed a lot more like emotional depth than most trap albums I've heard, save the like Trap and B albums like Black with a Six, whatever.
Yeah.
But Letter to My Mama was this like really deep thing about like an ode to his single parent mom who raising him to Ball Without You, which is this really, for trap, not so focused on like it's a very emotionally deep song, especially for trap to have. I can't vibe with you on All My Friends. I'm sorry. I'll just leave that there.
That's fine. I still hate myself that I like it, but I like it, so I have to tell the people that I do.
And I really wish there were a version of 1.5 where 21 Savage just got an extra verse and Offset wasn't on there. Not even because of my own little Warpath with Offset, but genuinely, he makes the song not good.
Yeah, like, it could be better. I generally like it, which is good, so... bit more than, honestly, a lot more than I expected, especially how it started very, very strong and it kind of kept that feeling the whole album. I didn't get bored through it, which is surprising from trap. So, everybody else stop making trap. 21, you get a pass.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We need an arbitrary scale and I'm trying to think of one. So I'm just going to get really random here and say Chick-fil-A coupons.
Okay, what's good? What's bad?
Because
Chick-fil-A is death. But a lot of people like Chick-fil-A.
I think a lot of people like Chick-fil-A. I think Chick-fil-A is okay. The whole like attempt at a like boycott of Chick-fil-A just never really worked. So let's just assume that Chick-fil-A is good. More coupons is better. This is a good like 8 coupons on a Saturday morning where it's not too crowded. So you're basically getting like a free nice ass meal, and it's like you get your meal pretty immediately, and it's just gonna be like one of the special moments at Chick-fil-A.
I was gonna say like a solid family of 4 that all have a coupon for a free meal or whatever. I don't know. I don't eat fucking fast food, whatever it's called. On a Friday like at 6, when Dad gets off work, you know, he comes home, everything is business suit, it's American dream. Let's go to Chick-a-Flicka and get some of this chicken.
Chick-a-Flicka flame.
Yeah.
My baby's walking my fucking chicken.
Yeah, and that family 4 goes, sits down, goes, cool. The maid cleans the house, come back, pet the dog, watch some TV, go to sleep.
Let's get through this.
There we go.
So, Lil Pump,
everybody's favorite Hard R Award recipient.
Yep.
The Lil Pump Hard R Award.
So, the video for Butterfly Doors, the Hard R Award winner, who, for the folks counting at home, won the award because of the Asian stereotype made in... the video that where he released it.
His Instagram video where he goes like Yao Ming Chin Chan and he pinches his eyes
like a Chinese American.
Never mind. I can't talk about China. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so he released the video for it, and in the video the lyric is censored.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So it's like smoking on dope.
What a bitch.
Because my eyes were real low.
What a bitch! No! If you're going all in, you're going all in, cuz.
Okay, so first of all, there's 2 noted little bitch award recipients that might come out of this episode.
Seriously?
One is Lil Pump, the other is Slim Jimmy.
Slim Jimmy.
But,
who doesn't want to punch this cunt in the face?
Yeah, Lil Pump is a very punchable face with his, like, ridiculously diamond blinged out, sunglasses. But anyways.
Got it.
Yeah, that's gonna get released soon and that's no good. And
he got super hard R award.
Unfortunately, the stupid is spreading towards rock, apparently. So we're expecting new music from Vampire Weekend to come out soon. So
which Weekend is interesting for me because I either hate it or I love it for the music.
Is that based on like a time period? Like you hate their older stuff or like their newer stuff? Or
it just depends on the album, honestly. Like,
okay.
I've liked some of their older stuff and some of their newer stuff and vice versa. They've been out for a while, so It kind of depends on the theme and also on the mood I'm in as well.
So. Yeah, I haven't liked much of Vampire Weekend, if I'm being honest. But nevertheless, we'll probably be reviewing a single from them at the very least soon. But
I'm interested to see what they sound like.
They have an...
Because they haven't released... When's their last album? It's been a minute, right?
While you're checking that...
Yeah, 2013. Let's say it was in high school, for sure.
Yeah, that really has been a minute.
Modern Vampires of the City, yeah, because Contra was... I liked Contra. Because Vampire Weekend is okay. Because they only have three albums. I keep thinking they have four albums.
Anyways.
But anyways.
They plan on making it 18 songs, and...
Oh my god, okay. Are they doing a double?
It's 59 minutes long. So... Some of the songs might be.
Are they gonna do
shorter? I guess.
What are they gonna do? A Neon Indian and put little like interludes in them. But Neon Indian is always you do. Don't pull a Humans interludes, please.
Humans was like a bit of like a kaleidoscope mess. But anyways, I saw the title and I said, oh god, albums coming to rock. That's really bad. But 18 songs is like. Pretty much the line, and if it's under an hour, you can just.
It's 59 minutes. It's not bad. I mean, A Brief Inquiry was about that long.
I think 70 minutes is a perfectly acceptable time for an album. Little bit on the longer side, but perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
It's when we get into like the I could feasibly watch an animated film in the time that this entire like
thing exactly. is going on. If it's Amigos long, that's when it just stops.
Yeah, like an hour and 20 minutes is just like egregious. Anything beyond that, and there has been beyond that, is just wrong. anyways, let's totally switch gears and go into the next album review.
Super change gears. James Blake.
Blake? Yeah.
Blake? Assume form.
That's one other thing I'm going to mention super briefly. Soulja Boy left the internet, kind of, because he went on Charlamagne the God and started talking about Drake! And we'd be remiss to not be a music podcast and missing that. But anyways,
and
not
also, don't
that.
Buy his console because he's getting sued by Nintendo Heavy. Nintendo coming for that ass.
Nintendo's laying rail on Soulja Boy's intellectual property and his legal budget. Anyways, James Blake released an album.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Assume Form. It has 12 songs on it. Mm-hmm. And on this version of Spotify, I don't get the runtime, which is annoying. So,
12 songs, 48 minutes long. You have two songs with Metro Boomin, one song with Travis Scott, one song with Moses Sumney, Rosalia, and Andre 3000.
3000.
So,
3000.
3000. The song with Travis Scott was not bad.
Wow!
Which I was genuinely surprised because I really fucking hate Travis Scott. I think Astroworld is the most overrated album of the, I don't know, maybe the past decade. I just don't understand it. But this
there
song,
surprises coming out of this episode.
Is not a bad song. The whole album, I mean, James Blake has a theme, which is you know, super serious, which I love. Because you know me. Literary Blood being my favorite fucking film. I like serious shit.
No entertainment whatsoever.
Jokes. I like entertainment.
No jokes.
Jokes all the time. But my bread and butter is seriousness. Like that's what I live for.
Sean has never made a joke while engaging in copulal relations.
I'm not going to talk about my sex life, but at least I didn't text somebody while I was banging, so you know.
That never happened.
Ew, but thanks for pointing that out.
You know in Smash when you hit someone with like a critical hit before they fly off the map? That was the equivalent.
Pretty much. Now, see, you're flying off the map. I'm DDD. I'm laying on the ground giving you smug face waiting for you to come back. It's not as heavy of an album as his normal ones are. It feels a little bit lighter.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, it's still deep. It's still dark, but it's not. And from what I think of James Blake, I think the whole thing being pretty, like, the production, the electronics, his voice, everything being pretty deep and dark, and the themes being that. But this one felt a little bit lighter. Like, the song, Song 7, Are You In Love, it felt like, okay, this is something that he's testing different waters, talking about different things in this album. And I quite like that. It's still, I mean, his voice is still gorgeous. Like, damn.
Yeah.
And it still has really good themes and everything, but it's not super depressing like most of his work is. So I quite like it.
This is so super interesting. So I guess James Blake has a softer, sort of darker tone, but I've always felt his music is more like, I guess sort of like sultry almost.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
It's not some, like...
Well, it's hard to, like, describe it in that way, but to me it feels like the themes and everything in his lyrics.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
And I sort of, in whatever I'm thinking of, like, the mood of how I'm describing music, I'm thinking a lot of how the instrumentation sort of, like, leads me to a certain, like, mood or idea. And so that's what I sort of see, and I think sort of James Blake's croon also lends itself very well to that genre of music, or that, like, kind of category. I was definitely curious to see how you would react to the two Metro Boomin produced
songs.
Second
Metro Boomin one isn't good. First one's good.
First of all, no Metro Boomin trap tags in the songs.
Yes, which I was actually about to say that because when I heard the second song, I'm like, okay, this is kind of trappy, but it's not bad. And then I looked, I'm like, oh, there's Metro Boomin. And then the second song played, and I pause it halfway through, and I go, there was no rap tag.
Yeah, I felt like, so this album does a lot of experimentation, and I think at its best, it reaches, like, Gorillaz level, like, great job at mixing genres and, like, really pulling something cool together at its best. And I think that, I think of this time, Mile High with Travis Scott, Metro Boomin, and James Blake, that's just such a wicked combination.
Yeah, it's so different out there, you know? I mean, he was on King's Dead, too, so...
Yeah, but, like, he was barely on King's Dead.
But, like...
James Blake was barely on King's Dead.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even really point to what part of the song he really did unless he just, like, produced the song. Because I don't remember his vocals.
I think he produced it, I believe. Or something, he was some part of it. I don't believe he did vocals
but
on King's Dead.
But, basically, like, this is a very, like... This was trap kind of pared back down to this, like, electro-soul thing that James Blake is kind of doing. And in a lot of songs, like I'll say, Where's the Catch and Power On. And a couple songs later on, like James Blake sort of tries to move up to this sort of 2018 faster beat, almost trying to borrow from trap without being too hokey from trap. Where's the Catch is such a good song. It is a banger. It's going to be the song.
This one's Andre 3000.
Yeah, it's the song I'm going to be playing like the most just coming out of it. It's just got this nice little like piano hook in
it's
it
good.
That's just like I'm a sucker for.
Like, out of all of the songs for this album, because I'm not going to really bump this album. It's not my style. I'll probably listen to that song a bit more throughout the year.
Yeah.
I do enjoy it.
Yeah, the song is definitely for a different vibe. I didn't want to go back to Tell Them. I think that that's the more upbeat version of the song.
Yeah,
whereas also,
which I don't
you'd
like
expect
it.
Mile High with Travis Scott, Metro Boomin, and James Blake to be the really upbeat song.
And it's not.
And it's really
it's not. And I like it. I like it for that reason.
I kind of described it as like trapped out last living souls in a way.
That's a good way to explain it because it was something that when I first heard it, I go, whoa. This is kind of stripped back, slowed down. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. You don't hear it very often, if ever, so.
Yeah. I think this is just, like, a great mark in all of the careers of all involved. So that's, like, just a great moment for music. But, yeah, I just love the kind of whimsy and fun that James Blake seems to have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially in Outcome 2, Power 1, especially Power On near the end, and Low Life and My Valentine, all very good tracks. So yeah, I definitely recommend listening to this album. I think Sean, you agree. I think we came to it in very different ways. Barefoot in the Park is very beautiful too. We came to it in very different ways, but I give this. I would say this is like the electronic equivalent to how I felt about I Am Greater Than I Was. I also don't remember exactly what I rated that, like 6-7 coupons or whatever, and I just want to move on. So.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's a free meal on a Wednesday that is like an open house, so you only have a half day at school.
I'm going to say this is, 7 coupons at a brand new Chick-fil-A where the restrooms haven't been fucked up yet.
It's a good one. So R. Kelly.
R. Kelly, goddammit. Okay, so.
He got dropped by Sony.
We actually did the Audio Face Awards before the whole big, like, Lifetime...
Documentary series dropped. That's right. I forgot about that.
So, in case you've been living under a rock and have just been ignoring music news, until we've been on. First of all, happy you do that, I guess. Continue doing that and mash the subscribe button. But long story short, there's a documentary Robert Kelly was... It was covered that R. Kelly did all the things that we've been talking about on Audioface, literally as early as episode 10.
Yes.
And these are things that have been known in music so long. I actually went back really recently and watched the Boondocks episode made in 2006, or released in 2006, The Trial of R. Kelly, where it's talking about the dichotomy between everyone coming to terms with the very true reality that R. Kelly is a perverted person for the way he takes advantage of women and has, like, sort of a blatant disregard for treating them in any sort of, like, decent manner. And not to say that, like, to get into the weeds of it, like, yeah, you can have a pissing fetish and totally be fine with that consensually, but that's not R. Kelly's, like, deal. It's pretty clear. But, nevertheless, all these things that have kind of been publicly available knowledge all came out in this documentary, and it was really hitting a lot of people. And that Boondocks episode had a dichotomy between people who came to terms with the harsh realities of what R. Kelly was doing, but still said, ah, fuck, I like his music. But it seems like in this new sort of, like, era of, like, times-up culture and things like that, that,
it's finally starting to sway.
Thank God. America listens to Audioface. No, but, so, to get back to the news at hand, Sony Music dropped R. Kelly from their label.
Yep. Which is awesome. Thank God somebody's actually doing shit. Lady Gaga, she apologized with her collaboration with R. Kelly, and she pulled it, I believe, right?
Yeah, so it's no longer on her, like, streaming or buying catalogs, so she won't be making money from that in that way. At least, because she'd probably done a song with R. Kelly.
But this is a while ago. This is five, 6 years ago.
Yeah, but Lady Gaga's also very prominent, like... Oh, yeah. Advocate for sexual assault survivors, so it's definitely a good look for her to
definitely
possible. And there's, like, a whole counter controversy between which artists appeared in the documentary and talked about R. Kelly, which artists were reached out to and didn't appear in the documentary. Yeah. Like, there's a whole backstory in there. I think, like, that's much less relevant than, I mean, in some ways, like, there are a lot of artists who are coming to R. Kelly's defense, and I think that's sort of annoying.
That's really fucking
pointed out, and it's kind of we've talked about that ad nauseum on Audioface. It's one of the only places that people are ever talking about it. So glad the world is catching up.
It's like when we talked about Kamala Harris's fucking record, but, you know,
hashtag no politics.
So
this is a report out of Hot New Hip Hop that says that Migos and Drake. Go ahead.
This headline makes me want to drink bleach. Migos and Drake made a song a day for 56 days.
That's 2 months of Migos.
I don't want to read this.
I want to do a test, honestly, and see after how many days did the beats start sounding the same. Like, I want to see if you can overlay some of the beats from some of the days and see if they're literally just the same.
3 hours. I give them 3 hours.
It would not even take that long. First of all, I don't even think 56 songs would make through.
First of all, we're not a team.
Second of all, we're not a team. We did 56 show dates, and so during the tour, they just made a song every day. It's
oh, God, that's just...
I hope these never come out, but this also kind of shows you something, that they can make these songs really easily. They're not really...
Because it's not hard to make.
Yeah,
which really is the whole thing that we've been talking about, that trap is stupid. All you need is three things.
It's not that trap is stupid. It's just that, like, it's...
Well, it's easy to make, very, very, very repetitive, and most of the people who make it really aren't that creative.
Largely,
when it comes to
it. Yeah. There are a few really top talents, like,
which
we just talked about Metro Boomin, for example. But
most of it is not. Migos are extremely overrated.
It's largely mediocre.
Utter crap. Yeah.
But more on that later. And now we're going to go quickly back into the douche corner with Chris Brown. Chris Brown was arrested in Paris, but he actually recently got let go.
He got let go, yeah.
Because of rape accusations.
Rape.
And, you
Chris
know.
Chris Brown also hits people.
T.I. to the rescue.
Well, never forget T.I. because that app.
No, wrong one.
Oh, wait, no.
Jesus Christ, Sean. You've done that twice now. Okay, now you need to stop. Because you said I made a mistake twice, and I
you did it. You did it repetitively, like within 5 seconds. So
you
worse.
Did it repetitively within several episodes. You had more time to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm always gonna get that confused, though.
Just gonna walk right past that.
I laid a landmine for you. You know, in Battlefield, when a tank is running at you, you check a mine, and that tank either keeps trying to run you over and blows up, or it stops, turns around, and runs the other way.
No, the tank just stopped and slammed and just like reversed back, didn't even like move around.
Yeah, you're just like,
just like,
yep.
Okay.
There's a landmine for you right there.
So let's use this opportunity to.
It's T-Pain, because they have both fucking T's in it, like T.I. T-Pain. That's probably why I always get confused.
Oh my god, I had a discussion topic planned for this episode, which I'm super not doing, but we will talk about it sometime later. But anyways, let's talk about Toru Imoa and his new album.
AKA Fuckboy Imoa.
Yes, Toru Imoa and his new album, Outer Peace.
Everybody's favorite Bay Area hipster.
Oh, yes.
And Chaz. God, that name, that's such a bad name. I love you, Chaz, but God, that's a rough name. Never name your kid. Name your kid Culture before you name him Chaz. Like, that's how bad of a name it is.
Name your kid Kiari Cephas.
No, don't do that.
Oh, by the way, his first name is Chazwick.
This will make it better.
Sounds wonderful.
Anyways, you're a fucking great musician, bro. I love you. Just fucking fun. Call me scene all you want. I'll allow it.
Outer Peace is
10 songs, 30 minutes
long.
Yeah, short and sweet. You like most. Well, how long was Boo Boo? Boo Boo wasn't that long, right? Oh, actually, no, it was long because I forgot two songs were really long in there. It was 49 minutes, which is the album 2017.
Yeah, I think they've been getting slightly.
Because a couple of them are long, so a couple of them are short. Because Anything Returned is long, I know that. And then the one was live album. Four was short. Yeah, Four was 36 minutes.
Yeah, and there's also Less Sins, which is like, let's not even get into that conversation.
Well, that's like Atoms for Peace. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Outer Peace. You want to go first? Want me to go first?
I'll go first.
How about
fuck it? I really enjoyed this, but I had a lot of the same complaints with this as I had with previous Toru Imoa albums, and I've now done this twice, so I have to get a little bit more, like, pushy with it. Toru Imoa albums are sort of, like, insufferably top-heavy, in that they're sort of really good in the beginning, and they don't seem to sort of carry that good feeling to the end. And by good feeling, I sort of mean just, like, feeling like you're... putting your top quality songs is like the best songs that are sort of out there. Instead of spreading it out through the album, it's sort of all near the top. So like Ordinary Pleasure is just a really good banger and it's really catchy and goes really well. And Lost of the Universe and Miss Me, I think all really nice together as a block go okay. And then New House and Baby Drive It Down are sort of whatever. And then Who Am I? I'm sort of met with. Monte Carlo is funny because it just has so many Bay Area references, but like...
I caught a few of them, actually.
Yeah.
But not surprised.
Yeah, for me, I just kind of felt like... This is definitely my favorite Toru Imoa album since Everything in Return, which my favorite Toru Imoa
album. Well, Anything Returns.
Anything Return, yeah.
That's a fucking top 10, top 20 album.
Yeah,
of the 2010s.
It strongly remains my favorite album of Toru Imoa. Outer Peace was definitely second, but only because I liked 5 of the 10 songs on here, and the other albums were longer.
See, for me, I like a lot of... I like almost all of these songs. The opening of this album is pretty much perfect. Those 3 songs... are almost as perfect as you can get for the flow of the album. I wish it kept that the whole thing, because this would have been like, wow, this could be a top album of the year immediately. But unfortunately, it doesn't do that, but not for the quality of songs. To me, it's the transitions. That's the one thing I felt with this album, was once one song would end, it would end kind of abruptly, and the next song would play immediately, and it would just switch themes really quickly and felt strange in that way. The songs were fantastic. Each song, to me, I liked every song on this album. It just, each one felt different than the other, except for the first three, in the way that it just, it would abruptly happen, and then boom, would be in your face, something completely different. You go, oh wait, the song just changed, okay. But it was not a smooth transition, which I wish it was.
It lacked that cohesion.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
This is very far from Tori Ma's first rodeo. And this is not the first album where this mistake has also happened. So it's like, I have to, like, not just say that, hey, I like this enough to let this slide again. It's something I'm kind of just more upset about. Because other artists have been doing it really well. And even in the genres that I generally don't like, I mean, you'll notice it. So there's no reason Tori Ma can kind of figure that out, in my opinion.
This is, I like this album a lot, though. Every song I like. I'm going to listen to this a lot.
Yeah.
This is definitely his best since Anything in Return. I know a lot of people like What For. I didn't like What For much. I like Boo Boo a lot, but there's a lot of songs in there that were kind of lackluster. The middle of the album of Boo Boo's fucking fantastic. This album is a lot better just in the quality of each song. Because now, to me, he's figuring out, he's weeding out the bad songs from the good, in my opinion now. Because Boo Boo and What For felt like a lot more were thrown in there. This one, all of his experimentations seem to be working. Now he just needs to find out a specific sound, a specific goal he wants for an album to be put together.
And he's once a concept he can get to that, kind of build an album around.
And once he gets that, he can have an album of the year contender.
Right.
And he's close. He's getting really close now. So gives me hope for the future. So next time, please, please, please be a little more coherent. But
I have to revise one thing, actually.
Mm.
I forgot Causes of This, Tori Ma's first album, which I went back to listen to a long time ago. But that's actually my second favorite album. So it's still not better than that. Which is still not better than Anything in Return. So I'd rate Outer Peace third.
I think it's probably my second after Anything in Return. Because I like it that much. I'm going to be listening to this.
I don't know if you've heard Causes of This before, but it's really
remarkable.
I don't
remember it, honestly.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
The only one I really know is Underneath the Pine. That's the first Tori Ma album I heard.
Yeah.
That one, that's the second album, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
With New Beat.
New Beat, yep. Because that's the first song I heard from Tori Ma on MBE, of course. And then Anything Return. I remember when Anything Return came out because Dan and I were like, oh, shit.
That was
I
remember listening to that song walking on my way to class freshman year, first semester of college.
Yeah.
Listening to that album. Great, nothing but wonderful memories.
And say that. We bumped Say That when you came back from winter break. That song goes hard. So I'm going to rate this
Chick-fil-A. Lunch.
You go on a Sunday. You fuck
up. No, you can't do that.
No. You go on a Sunday, you fuck up, but you realize you're smart because you're a vegetarian, and you go to In-N-Out, which is right across the street, and you get a grilled cheese, and you feel better because you let the chickens run free. And you did better for the planet.
I'm going to say you go to Veggie Grill and get the buffalo chicken patties.
Buffalo. All right, I revise my statement. You get that plus the lemonade from motherfucking Veggie Grill, too.
Yeah. Buffalo.
Buffalo. This ain't no chickens, they're buffalo.
So kind of on a continuation of Chris Brown and R. Kelly, because the R. Kelly Kendrick Lamar thing we're referencing was around the fact that there was a whole scuffle between Spotify wanting to enforce guidelines and community guidelines with its artists, and Kendrick Lamar saying that you shouldn't do that and kind of threatening to remove his entire discography should that happen. Now Spotify is kind of doing this concession move where you'll kind of be able to do this on demand. So you'll be able to opt out of having artists appear in Spotify.
I like this a lot.
Which, you know, I think can be used for a lot of things. It can be used sort of preferentially if you on a moral reasons. Like, you just don't like R. Kelly or XXXTentacion because of the way they treat people.
Or you can just hate Mumford & Sons so much that you block that shit so fast that you already know I'm going to do that. Immediately, once that feature comes up, there's two people immediately. Mumford & Sons, the Fall Out Boy, done.
Oh yeah,
never have to see them again.
Oh, all the shitty EDM that I'll never have to hear again, just because no Chainsmokers.
Acapulco Chainsmokers too.
Oh, Spotify, look at all the winning. Too much winning.
This is good. This is great.
So we listened to the new Future album, Juice WRLD, Junior Hendrix, whatever. And honestly, like, here's the thing with this album. Future released an album.
Future presents Hendrix.
Future and Juice WRLD present WRLD on Drugs. He released that album like less than a month ago. Oh, less than 2 months ago.
I forgot that was even a thing.
Yeah, less than 2 months ago. Because in 2018, he released three albums.
Jeez, fuck.
And we're only not even a full month into 2019 where he released another album. Long story short, all of those albums, with the exception that Juice WRLD is on one of them, and the other one's the soundtrack for Superfly,
which really wasn't that bad, actually.
Really sound much different.
They all sound the fucking same.
Yeah. Mercifully, this has fewer features, but I wish I got through enough of the features or enough of the songs to even really enjoy that, because it's not offering anything new or different in trap whatsoever.
The auto-tune is so fucking bad, and it's in every single song. I skipped listen to make sure it was in every song, because I got through three songs, and I just told myself, if I hear auto-tune one more time, and I'm like, I'm done. I can't take it seriously. It makes... makes it so shitty.
Like, Future, you got trapped to where it is, but yeah, now you're like an Uncle Trapper. In that...
Uncle Trapper. He kind of actually is, low-key. Yeah. Also, it's the amount of music he keeps producing and putting out there. Just stop. Him and the Goose needed to stop making
Uncle
music.
Trappers.
Uncle Trappers, yeah.
They got the game to where it is, bless them. But you know what? Like, stop making music. Just stick to producing. And honestly, the producing could use a lot of work, because it's not...
It's not like, that good.
Yeah. We have a new trap rule on Audioface where...
Yes.
And this was actually a great first example of it, because we had a little bit of trap in James Blake. We talked about that.
And then 21.
We talked about what we liked and what we didn't like. We had an entire trap album in 21 Savage. We reviewed it as a full album. We talked about what we liked and what we didn't like. But Future, it's not worth your time. It's not worth our review.
And speaking of that, everybody's favorite, All My Friends Are Dead, Push Me to the Edge, Lil Uzi Vert. He's allegedly quitting music.
Allegedly.
The gym room, allegedly.
And I deleted everything. I want to be normal. I want to wake up in 2013. He wrote on a post on Instagram.
Okay. I can see his reasoning. He wants to live a normal life.
I mean, yeah, that's usually why people want to do this, which is completely understandable if you, like, live the rockstar life. 100%
understandable. I low-key will give him props for that.
Wow.
Because, it takes balls to say, hey, I don't want this lifestyle. I want to just be normal. I want to live my life and not have to deal with all this stardom. So, it says something a lot about your character to me.
I guess. I think the bar is set so low that I'm acknowledging that the bar is set so low, so I'm amazed by it.
I'm not amazed by it, but I'm saying, hey, there's still, like, it brings me a little more faith in a humanity.
Yeah, but this also could be one of those...
And if it's a publicity stunt, then put him on the Sean wants to put you on the guillotine award list.
The Guild of Guillotine?
The new Guild of Guillotine for make Sean mad. Should make that an award. The Piss Off Sean Award.
We've the firing squad.
We
are this close to ending the podcast. I do not want to bleep. So let's
I didn't bleep myself though, so I told you I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
You got really close.
I got wicked
and
close.
I gave you a mind too. I give you a really bad mind.
You tossed some final smashes my way.
I did, and I whiffed one hard, and I was taunting too.
But you know, I got in some jabs, got in a couple hooks right there. Hooks. But anyways,
I still beat you.
You
so.
Know, that's Audioface. That's what it is. Honestly, what it will be is a little more energized next.
Oh yeah, because this is at 9:30 at night when Dan's already had work, and I'm still recovering from being sick, so we're still both bleh.
Yeah.
Usually we're on Sundays when we get. Sundays are fun days because we both don't work and it's good days, and I play hockey, so I'm always like rejuvenized.
And both of us have previously spent the other day not at work, and so we're rejuvenized. But anyways,
exactly.
We're done apologizing. Hashtag no apologies tour.
That's really funny, actually. Anyways, it's been on episode 81 Audio Face. If you like us, please rate on especially on Apple, because I guess they do the best system. Subscribe, all the things. We're at Audioface Pod on all the things,
on
everything.
Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. And I'm at SW Suarez on Twitter and Instagram, which I never use Twitter, but Instagram I use. And Dan is some fucked up thing because someone took his name like
I'm
in 2009.
I'm at Dan from the web on Twitter and at Dan from the internet on Instagram. The next, next week, I actually have some of these down already because I at least thought I had to do that.
No, that's good.
We're going to have Backstreet Boys, Fiddler, and the Dandy Warhols. Tentatively. That's at least what I had planned here. We might move some stuff around, and we have a couple days to move stuff around. Plus, we're actually recording this on the night that J. Cole released a thing. We're gonna hold and talk about that in episode 81. So we will release it. We promise it will be out sooner than a month and more on time than this one. But there are special circumstances. We appreciate you for listening, and we will be back soon. Within less than a week. We'll at least give it that.
Right.
Bye.
Deuce.